Hello, everyone. Sorry for the late start. And it is Scott Tipps again. And it's January 9th, 2013. And I hope you're still with us and you've survived the New Year's, even beyond the last session that we had last week. And we're very lucky. We'll just sort of cut to the chase and not waste any time with formalities. And that is that we're very lucky this time tonight to have with us Donna Gates, who lives in the States. I'm not exactly sure where. I see various things like Georgia and Southern California. So I think Donna tends to get around the planet, as do others. But the interesting thing about Donna Gates is that she has a very strong mission to change the way the world eats. For the last 25 years, she has become literally one of the most beloved and actually respected authorities in the field, well, many fields, digestive health. You can do a laundry list an arm's length long, and you probably still wouldn't name everything, but I'll make a little stab at it. Digestive health, diet, nutrition, of course, expert in candida, adrenal fatigue, autism, autoimmune diseases, weight loss, and anti-aging. So if you have any questions, those of you on the chat line, please be sure to key them in. And if you really want me to notice them, put them in all caps. I won't think you're yelling at me. And I'll look at those probably first. I'll certainly notice them first. Now, Donna Gates is actually in many ways revolutionized the natural food industry because she's introduced in many respects the importance of probiotic nutrition to your diet, the use of stevia, the consumption of cultured foods, drinking coconut water and kefir, and even more. There's a lot more, and we'll hear that from her. She has a book that's really an incredible book that I want you to write this name down, The Body Ecology Diet. And it's probably, you can get it, I'm not sure if you can get it through Amazon.com, but certainly at bodyecology.com, www.bodyecology, just the way it sounds, all one word, .com. So, Donna, without further ado, let me welcome you to the show. Are you there? Did I lose you?
Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm here.
I can hear you
and
now.
It's great to be here. Good.
Good. Well, thanks for being there. And I appreciate your taking the time. Excuse the technical challenges that we had, but I will really, I just want to ask you, what do you mean by body ecology? What is that? What are you meaning when you use those two words?
Well, you know, we're all very aware that there's an ecosystem in the outside world with birds and trees and worms and, you know, things in the dirt and so on. Everybody's pretty aware of our ecology, but we've just never thought much about the body having its own ecology, and it does. We have little tiny invisible microbes living on us all over our body. Everything in the whole entire world is covered with these microbes, and actually they're the first living form on the planet. I mean, they've even found bacteria in out way out in outer space, and so this whole planet started with bacteria. So we have bacteria on us and in us. And it's really fascinating, the whole ecosystem that's going on. We have a really important ecosystem in our gut, down mostly in the small and, mostly in the colon and the large intestine, but there's still a significant amount of good, healthy lactobacillus bacteria that lives in the small intestine. And they do really, really important things for us and for ever, really. We haven't known about them. We haven't paid much attention to them. So years ago, you know, I was just kind of trying to find answers to help myself get well. And then, of course, I like to share whatever I learn with others that I care about and I like to teach. So I started kind of just putting it out there to the universe that, please, I need answers. And so do other people. We need answers. And all this amazing information that wasn't available before just started showing up in front of me. You know, I'd open books or talk to just get ideas or something. And now over all these years, the term inner ecosystem, which I coined years ago, actually is being used by a lot of people today. It was even recently on the cover of a major science magazine. So we've come a long way, and it's a good thing because it's a really important thing to know about.
And so how long have you been you've been doing this for 25 years, but does that include the body ecology diet system, or is that something a more recent evolution?
No, body ecology really is about 18. I think the book was put out about 18 years ago, and over the years I've, you know, refined it a little bit, but it was pretty accurate right from the very beginning. What's happened is that at the time that I said certain things, you know, there wasn't much research to support it, and now it's amazing how much research there is to support everything in there. But, you know, it's really the book, the Body Ecology Diet book, is a kind of a nuts and bolts guide to here's how you eat, this is what you don't eat, this is what you do eat. Because actually, huge number of us today have a systemic yeast infection in our body and we don't even know it. Well, actually, more people do know it today than ever, fortunately. But it's amazing to me because I actually sit in classes. I'm working a degree. When I sit there with a lot of medical doctors, getting this fellowship in from American Academy of Alternative Medicine. And let's see, anyway, they talk about, you know, they bring up the fact that a yeast infection can be a problem, but they really don't go much past that. And I'm amazed because I think in medical school, doctors are just trained to think, oh, if a person has a yeast infection, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, they should use an antifungal drug. But what I know is that it's a rare person today that doesn't have a systemic yeast infection in their body, and antifungal drugs don't work. So,
well, Donna, let me interrupt you just real quickly. You said systemic body infection or a stomach?
Well, it's just systemic, meaning it's in the body, systemic. It's in the bloodstream. So a lot of people know about
it. I just wanted to make sure you weren't saying stomach. So,
yeah,
just so our listeners would know too. So in this systemic infection, how do you deal with it?
Well, you've got to be doing two things. First of all, you've got to bring the infection under control. Like what is a yeast infection? It's these really creatures, you know, again, invisible little microbes that are harming you, and they are naturally present in the body, but when they become pathogenic, they grow tentacles, they burrow into the mucosal lining, they create inflammation and infection. And then if it starts in the gut, for example, they'll burrow through the gut into the body and spread all over the body and infect organs everywhere there. But you have to starve them. And at the same time, you have to build your immune system. Well, that's not easy to do. The diet is starving them, basically. It's no longer feeding them any food. It's a delicious diet, by the way. It happens to feed us very well, but not them. And then the immune system, though, we're working to strengthen the immune system, but yeast are extremely, they're really bad for our immune system. They poison the immune system all the time. They secrete dangerous toxins in our body, and they make the worst toxins in the body. Acetaldehyde, which is a very dangerous toxin, they're secreting all the time. And that one messes up the brain chemicals in our head, so we're depressed. It interferes with our thyroid production, so we don't have enough energy in the body. The list is huge, just with that one toxin. They secrete other toxins that literally suppress the immune system. They slam it. One of them shreds apart the DNA inside of the white blood cells of our immune system. And so here we have this enemy that's actually very, very clever at keeping us weak and feeding off of us. So the yeast take minerals from our body and proteins, keeping us weak. So we're actually a perfect host for them. But you can't live life with a yeast infection in your body if you really want to be healthy, if you want to live a long time. And the yeast infection is related to so many things that people have no idea the yeast are causing that problem.
Well, Donna, that brings up another question. How would any of us know? Obviously, in an extreme case, we would know, but or at least have a clue. But how would a typical person that might be asymptomatic know whether he or she has this? Are there any signs or indicators, that subtle ones?
Well, there's a test that any doctor can order, and that shows if you have antibodies, which means your immune system has been fighting the yeast. But really, just because of the way we live today, like if you've taken birth control pills during your lifetime, if you've taken antibiotics for a while, you know, off and on as a child growing up, maybe you had a lot of ear infections or strep, throats and lung infections and you were given antibiotics, if you took the birth control pill, which many women did, the problem with the pill is that it secretes, you have very, very high levels of estrogen, which feeds the yeast. The estrogen makes the yeast grow. If you've been pregnant, there's a very good chance that you've got a pretty definitely have a yeast infection, because when a woman's pregnant, her progesterone and her estrogen and her glucose all go up, which it's good. That's a good thing. But all that feeds the yeast. So, you know, there's just the stress of a high sugar diet that we all eat. We've just been creating this infection. Man's been plagued by a yeast infection for a long time, but we didn't have the sugar in our diet and we didn't have the stress in our diet, in our life that we have today. So it just kind of comes along with the life that we live today.
I see. So you can do the test to determine it, but what about cravings? Would cravings tell someone that they...
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cravings, because because the yeast want you to feed them foods that keep them alive, like sugar. And so people are constantly craving foods. That's a major symptom. I'm glad you even mentioned that, Scott.
So what particular cravings would you say, like carbohydrates, sugars?
Oh yeah, for carbs. Uh-huh. Sugars. Yeah, they don't necessarily. Yeah, they want to stay. They want the blood the body to stay more acidic. So therefore they're eating the minerals out of the body, which keeps the perfect environment for them. But then of course, when you eat sugar, you're making the body acidic and you're feeding them. But you know, there's so many symptoms that you wouldn't connect to a yeast infection, like depression, for example. The acetaldehyde actually interferes with the brain chemicals, serotonin and dopamine, so life is flat. And, you know, that's not the only thing. Like more and more.
Are you there? I can't hear you. Are you there, Donna? Audience, I think I heard Donna cutting out, and hopefully we'll reestablish connection. Thank you all, Sean and Lou and Kat for letting me know. And in the meantime, I think while we're getting this back on, I think we can say what one of the interesting things about what Donna Gates has done is she's taken a lot of this information that is out there and she's pulled it all together. And it looks like, from what I had learned after first being introduced to her, she's sold probably over some 200,000 copies of The Body Ecology Diet. And she also has another book called The Baby Boomer Diet as well, for those who are, shall we say, a little bit older. But it does seem to be, from what I've seen of the book, and I haven't read it, I have to confess, unlike some of these others for the authors we've had on, that her book deals with how to root out the candida invaders and how to take on and defeat the imbalance in the growth of yeast that's naturally present in the body. And it can, she's saying, as a lot of us already know, but she really does pull it all together. Talks about how it can trigger food allergies, sensitivity to like perfumes and tobacco, digestive disorders, immune-related disorders, headaches, depression, cancer, and even muscular pains, joint pains, and menstrual irregularities, a whole slew of things that could all be dealt with if one got one's own body ecology back in order. And it seems to me, and I don't want to steal her thunder when we get her back on, but a lot of the nutritional aspects that she uses, a lot of the, looks like we're about to get her back on, are these probiotics and fermented foods, which is fantastic because that's what we should be eating. And just keep in mind that probably the foods that you crave, and I include myself in that, you, because I certainly have my own food cravings, are the very ones that we might tend to suspect as being something we might want to avoid for a while, even to try to avoid, to have better health. And if we are sick in any way or suffer from illness, then to get better by avoiding those craving foods and instead eat the foods that Donna suggests, which are really, I don't know. Donna, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
Good. Yes, we lost you. Now, if I can say, probably for my benefit, and I'm sorry about the technical difficulties today, probably the, you know, Saturn's in some weird planetary aspect or something for all I know. But do speak a little more slowly if you can, and that will help prevent any breakup problem too.
Honestly,
make it easier for me to hear you and also to interject every now and then. So, but we are on live. And where did we leave off? I think you were talking about.
I wanted to talk about the four steps that people, action steps that people have to take if they want to get well. And honestly, this is so simple, but it's so profound that I hope people will remember it and really think deeply, you know, reflect on it more after they hang up from the show. But the first of all, you have to create energy. And so many people are stuck right there because honestly, they don't have the energy to get well. And very often that means taking a look at your thyroid and your adrenals, because so many people today have adrenal fatigue and they're thyroid is underactive, and diet's a very important step in bringing health to your thyroid and adrenals. But sometimes it's lifestyle habits, like we stay up late at night and watch exciting shows on TV, and then we have high cortisol levels and we can't go to sleep. But getting energy into the body is the most important thing you can do if you have a health problem and you want to get well, or even if you want to stay young. I mean, a body that has a lot of energy in the cells is always going to stay younger. Be able to have right now here in the U.S., there's all the TV stations are promoting that there's a very scary flu epidemic that's suddenly come about. A couple of people have died from it, evidently, but they do this every year in the wintertime. But, you know, it's about building a strong immune system. And so, that's energy. I mean, a strong body with a lot of energy is going to have a strong immune system and be able to resist anything that comes your way, and build back and rejuvenate. And then the second thing is you have to conquer infections in your body. And because so many people do have a yeast infection, following our program is really valuable. You also have to correct digestion, which we're really big on. Properly preparing foods so that you don't overcook them, because overcooked foods are impossible to digest. You know, using digestive enzymes, and most importantly, adding fermented foods to your diet, which literally don't exist or didn't exist years ago in the U.S. Market. I mean, there were no fermented foods in our whole diet anywhere. And so I've actually had a huge role to play, thank God, really, not that I did it by myself, but, you know, I started introducing these fermented foods and explaining their importance in a way that no one had ever done before, because I feel very divinely guided by how the way I've been able to discover information. I just know there's some power wanting us to all have this information right now, and it really can save your life. The fourth thing you've got to do is cleanse out the toxins. We've really got to actively cleanse toxins from our body today, because our bodies were created with a detoxification system, but about 60% of us genetically, our genes are such that we don't detoxify efficiently. And now we're in a time where that might not have mattered once, but today we live in such a toxic world surrounded by so many chemicals that to be a good detoxifier is important. So we put a lot of attention on teaching people how to detoxify effectively well and be good to
Donna, starting to break up again, so I think it's really important to talk more slowly perhaps. Detoxify, you said it's important to learn how to detoxify. Okay,
yeah,
thank you. And what do you suggest for detoxification?
You know, I like the old-fashioned home enema, and then colon therapists are very, very popular over here, and all the beautiful people that look so fantastic, all the celebrities and actresses and all, they on a regular basis, you know, do colon cleansing. But saunas, eating a diet that, for example, fermented foods that we teach about are powerful cleansers. And so if you're, you know, the term sauerkraut may be a term that you all know over there better. I stopped using that term over here because people would go in the store and buy a jar of this cabbage that was, you know, it was not fermented. It was just was a lot of salt and didn't have any live bacteria in it. So we use the term cultured vegetables over here, or fermented vegetables. But if you have a couple of spoonfuls of fermented vegetables with your meal every day, it just has the most amazing benefits that you would never imagine. But you'll digest your food better. But, you know, the whole cruciferous family vegetables, cabbage, broccoli, kale, collards, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, that whole entire family are detoxifiers.
I see. Well, and then in the case of sauerkraut, which actually they would probably use that term over here, but I know exactly what you mean, and you're absolutely right. It is something that's misused, and people get the wrong product, and an unhealthy one at that. But how exactly does that work when you eat sauerkraut? How is it that this fermented cabbage has a beneficial effect in your gut?
Because they contain these wonderful microbes. And I probably really need to explain before we get off the air here how important these bacteria are, because man has never known that. Even back in the days of Pasteur, Louis Pasteur and Eli Mishnikov, they were very much into microbes and bacteria and so on in those days, but they didn't have the technology that we have today to really understand what they do. So the field of probiotic research is really hot in the world of science, but I'm trying to get people to bring it into their homes. Now, the little microbes that are invisible that you can't see are making B vitamins for you down inside your gut. Now, that's really important for energy and for detoxification.
Right.
They make vitamin K. They digest your food for you. They break the amino acid, the proteins down into amino acids, and your fat into fatty acids. And they pull the minerals out of the food and hold on to them so that they can get absorbed into the small intestine. When we eat, we need our minerals. And they keep our gut clean. This is really, really important. Like today, a lot of people are avoiding fish because they know it has mercury in it. So that's why I think this information is so important, because, you know, some of us have to eat fish. I mean, it's everything's polluted today in a way.
Yes.
But the microbes in our gut, they'll actually clean up the poisons in there. That's a major job that they perform for us. They know that this is a foreign toxic substance, and they'll just eat it up and get rid of it. They work very well together. You know, they communicate to each other, and they know what's going on in our body. They'll make things for us. Like if you're deficient in calcium, they'll go get some other minerals and silica, for example, and make calcium for you. So they're amazingly intelligent, and we really need them.
Really? So you're saying that the microbes that are in the sauerkraut are very intelligent?
They are. They have, that's, you know, their form of intelligence. I mean, they can communicate. They actually work in a community more efficiently in a lot of ways than we do. Like one bacteria will deliberately secrete a certain substance so that the other bacteria can survive, because that little bacteria is important to the community. Sometimes they'll even sacrifice their life for the good of the community. And I'm not, well, maybe we do that too, but they're so much like us. It's amazing. So, and now of course, scientists are really studying what they're doing and taking specific strains and saying, you know, what's this strain doing? Does this one control cholesterol? Does this one, you know, it's one of, like, plantarum, for example, which is very common in fermented vegetables, is a great antiviral. So that would be a good thing to have to if you're fighting, concerned about the flu season. And it also is a great bacteria that, like, for example, and when we teach people to make fermented vegetables, we teach them to add extra plantarum in a starter packet that we sell. Well, if you have a batch that's loaded with plantarum and you take an antibiotic, the antibiotic doesn't destroy the plantarum.
Well, there are some people that are wondering about diatomaceous earth for detox. Do you recommend that? And if you do, when would someone use that?
Well, you know, it is a good detoxifying substance for so many, many, many things to detoxify with today. You know, they can just use it appropriately. Usually the companies that sell the product usually have instructions of putting it in water and just drinking it. So it's a good thing. And, you know, think about your gut really like plants are planted in the ground, in the soil. Well, we humans carry our soil around inside of us. And so we want our soil to be healthy and rich with good bacteria. And believe it or not, even worms are inside the human soil. It's very common, and they're not necessarily harming us. But the diatomaceous earth is, you know, kind of along that same line. So it's not like the most important thing I would do. To me, the most important thing is to put the good bacteria in there. And just taking a probiotic supplement isn't enough, because they're not as hardy. The bacteria that you'll find in food are hardier, and they can go in and clear out the gut, change the environment. And when they change the environment of the gut to a healthier, cleaner place, every cell in your body then becomes cleaner, but also the other more fragile bacteria that you might take in a probiotic supplement are going to survive there. So if you, for example, if you have to take an antibiotic because you do have a bad, say, bladder infection or something, and you've got these hardy bacteria in your gut, then the antibiotic's not going to destroy all the bacteria in your gut, and you're not going to get all the diarrhea sometimes that can come from an antibiotic, or the yeast overgrowth that can come. But even, you know, we always have to think about this really important world inside of us, because it's vital to wellness, and we've not ever known much about it at all. And so that's body ecology.
Well, it sounds like you've really stayed on top of this. And I want to ask you, though, someone else was recommending perhaps coriander juice is great for detoxification. I don't know if you have any knowledge on that part, that subject.
No, it sounds great, but we, could you call coriander cilantro?
Yeah, I think you would.
That's the same thing that we would call cilantro.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you're absolutely right. I think it does mean.
Because over here, if that's what we're talking about, yes, it's a great one for pulling out heavy metals. Absolutely. The green, the whole green family. But see, a lot of people are doing green smoothies and green juices, which is great, but you don't want to put the cruciferous family. Kale, for example, is often put into a green juice, but the cruciferous family needs to be cooked or fermented. And if you eat kale raw, for example, or broccoli or collards or something, you're going to suppress your thyroid. And so you just want to warm the thyroid. If you have a thyroid problem and you are cold and you don't have enough energy, you need to be eating foods that are more warming to the body.
So what would be warming foods then, Donna?
Well, broths, like for example,
literally warming foods.
Yeah, literally where you've cooked them, cooked foods. Grain. We don't eat grains in the beginning on the diet. We eat quinoa and millet, and sort of we avoid initially. We always avoid gluten. Gluten is not on the body ecology diet, but rice we initially avoid until the yeast are under control, and then you can add rice back in. But you know, a cooked meal is a warming meal, but especially soups and stews. They're wonderful for you, for someone with a thyroid problem.
I wasn't sure if it meant. Minted in a different way. Now, say someone has taken a course of antibiotic therapy and then they wanted to get their intestinal tract, their GI tract back to a good balance. How long does it typically take with a persistent effort like you might suggest in your book, The Body Ecology Diet?
Well, if they don't have any good bacteria in their gut, it might take a few weeks. If somebody's also doing colon cleansing, along in the beginning too, what they're doing is they're removing a lot of toxic material from their colon. And then now when you start eating the fermented foods, the microbes have a cleaner environment to start to set up shop and live there. But, you know, it takes, right away they begin to live there. In a week's time, you're 10 days, you're beginning to see a difference. In a few months, a huge difference. If you're eating the fermented foods, it happens immediately. So what we recommend, years ago I thought, oh, antibiotics are bad for you. They cause yeast infections. But I've come a long way, and now I realize, well, antibiotics do save life, and like everything else, they have a front and a back, positive and negative side. So use them if you have to, but be sure you have that healthy inner ecosystem established in your gut by eating the fermented foods and drinking fermented liquids and all while you're on the antibiotic. And then they're so strong and hardy that, and you're always eating them on a regular basis, that you can use the antibiotic for the, say, 10 days and end up just being fine without having any problem. You know, often people with antibiotics have diarrhea afterwards that they can't get rid of after that, or their hormones are screwed up. A lot of problems come from taking antibiotics, but they won't if you're eating the fermented foods while you're on the antibiotic.
Donna, do the bacteria eat the fiber to reproduce and live, or do they eat other things?
Well, they love sugars too. And so anytime you eat, there's an absolutely fiber. There's a big movement now in the U.S. to go toward the paleo diet. We tend to swing back and forth. The paleo diet's very similar to the Atkins diet. And then everybody went raw, and now they're going back to paleo. And that's good for a while, short term. A lot of people will benefit, but that diet doesn't have any fiber, and you can get in trouble with it because, again, you've got to remember that you have this inner ecosystem in your gut, and you have to take care of it. You know, you're kind of have like having a pet or a bowl of fish or something. You've got to feed them and
yes.
think about them, and don't be poisoning them at all.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, actually, Donna. One of our listeners is asking me to ask you about the thyroid. What do you suggest for hypothyroidism? What do you know to treating that?
Well, the thyroid needs, as I mentioned before, the thyroid, if you get up in the morning and you have fruit first thing in the morning, instead of warming your body, and again, the microbes, the good bacteria, they love the sugar that's in fruit. And that's why I think we have fruit in the planet, is to help feed them, particularly in the season when fruit is abundant in the summertime and all. But if you wake up in the morning and you have a cold meal right away because you're having fruit or fruit juice or something, you're already starting off wrong. The thyroid needs to be warmed, and it especially needs good, healthy fats. So fats like butter and ghee and coconut oil, egg yolks are excellent for the thyroid. You know, the egg yolks have healthy cholesterol in them. That's also good for your brain too, by the way. But the A and D, vitamin A and D are very, very important. Cod liver oil is another great oil. And then there's an amino acid called tyrosine. And then, so taking tyrosine over here, you can buy tyrosine very easily in the health food store. It's a very inexpensive amino acid, and taking a tyrosine tablet capsule every morning is good for the thyroid. It's also very good for your brain too, for organization. And a lot of people that are depressed do well taking a little tyrosine. The prefrontal cortex at the front of the brain loves tyrosine, so you'll be much more focused and organized. But it's great. Tyrosine is an essential for the thyroid. And of course, you can get tyrosine from eating animal proteins and beans and dairy foods. But most people need to actually take a little bit if they have a thyroid problem. And then they need minerals. That's the other biggie. Besides the healthy fats, the thyroid has to have good, healthy minerals. Selenium, zinc.
Selenium,
okay. Zinc, and very importantly, iodine, which so many people are deficient in. So taking iodine for many people is a must. And it's interesting because the tyrosine, one tyrosine molecule and four iodine molecules make T4, which is the first hormone that the thyroid makes. And then one of those little iodine molecules gets split off, and then we get T3. Well, T3 goes into every single cell in our body, including our adrenals, and gives us energy. So this is where energy comes from. If we don't have enough energy to heal, we've got to have a health, we've got to work on our thyroid. So I teach that a lot. And then, of course, the thyroid is very intimately related to the adrenals. They work together all the time. And if the adrenals are weak, then the thyroid is going to be dragged down, and you won't be able to heal the thyroid. So always for the thyroid work, you must work on your adrenals. A lot of people go to the doctor, he does a thyroid test, and he says, oh, you need some thyroid hormone. But he doesn't do anything about the adrenals. And so we need to support the adrenals too.
Well, let me divert back to a question. I find that actually very fascinating, because that's something that I need to learn more about, is the interplay between thyroid and the adrenals. And I must confess, that's one of my weak points in my nutritional.
It's one of the most important things to know. Like, if, you know, there's so much out there to know, like, what do you really focus on? This is about creating energy. That's what I meant a little while ago. This is essential.
One of our listeners, their family, actually cooks cabbage in water, and then the water is cooled, and then they drink the cabbage water. Would you recommend that as a standard practice?
Sure. Yeah. That's fine to do that. This is the world of nutrition is kind of fascinating and complicated, but a lot of foods have oxalates in them, and those oxalates are plant poisons actually that we are supposed to be able to digest. If we have good healthy bacteria in our gut, like I'm suggesting, the bacteria eat the oxalates, and so they don't get into our bloodstream. When they get into the bloodstream, they cause a lot of problems. Kidney stones, they cause this little calcification. It's like little fine pieces of glass. It can get into your brain, into your lungs, and so our body becomes more calcified. Well, so here's these healthy foods that are, many of them are nuts and seeds, chocolate, which everybody loves, and spinach, and a lot of really healthy foods, quinoa. They're high in oxalates. Well, we shouldn't be reacting to oxalates. And if you've got healthy bacteria in your gut and you take calcium citrate, that'll bind the oxalates in your gut so they don't get into your blood. But here's the deal. Recently, we've learned that yeast, if you have yeast growing in your bloodstream, they make oxalates. And so therefore, you've got all this oxalate happening in your body anyway. Now, oxalates are a huge problem. And so I really like to teach people about that too, understanding oxalates in our food and then how you want to bring your yeast infection under control so that stops happening and you get your oxalates in your bloodstream under control. But there's a lot of people that shouldn't be eating oxalates. They're reacting to them and they don't even know. Go on the internet and do some research on that. You can go to Susan Owens Trying Low Oxalates and type in Susan Owens' name and you'll get great information. But so many people improve when they go on a low oxalate diet for several weeks. And so the thing about cooking, and oxalates, by the way, harm the thyroid and the adrenals. But when you cook, that, like green beans, for example, are high in oxalates. But if you put them in water and cook them and don't drink, you know, throw away the water, then you're getting rid of a lot of the oxalates. And so now you're changing the food so you can eat it. So cooking is very, very important, preparing foods properly. But that would be an example of a time where you wouldn't want to drink the water. But your cruciferous family, broccoli, you could do the same with broccoli, cabbage, and so on, that they're low in oxalates. Fortunately, they are low in oxalates because they're fantastic. It's a fantastic category of foods to keep in your diet on a regular basis. So ferment your cabbage and cook it, you know, and use other cruciferous vegetables in your diet, and you'll have a powerful cleanser going on in just as you eat, and we need that.
Well, it sounds like very healthy advice. When you were talking earlier about the palpitations, I don't know if I understood it correctly myself, to be honest. That's why I'm kind of hesitating here. And one of our listeners had the same question. Palpitations, can they be, I know they're definitely caused by hyperthyroidism, but if hypothyroidism is present, can that trigger heart palpitations in your opinion?
Absolutely. That's a definite sign. There's so many signs of a hypothyroid, dry skin, hair falling out, constipation is probably the number one, particularly, again, because usually if you have a low thyroid, you've got weak adrenals, and that combination is the recipe for constipation.
We have so many more questions, but I have one in particular, and it's actually a quite good one that someone asked on our chat line, and that was about if you could, maybe for a lay person's point of view, clarify the difference between probiotics, prebiotics, and antibiotics to make it
clear. Antibiotics are just drugs that the drug companies are, you know, creating to kill the bad bacteria, and they are having trouble creating them anymore because the bacteria just keep outsmarting us. They make one and then soon it doesn't work anymore. The probiotic is just simply a good healthy bacteria. There's a huge thousands of them. They're identifying thousands of strains, and they do all the good things I mentioned before. They help us digest our food, and they build our immune system to make us strong and healthy. And so they're little microbes, you know, that live inside of us and all over us. I mean, you'll have different microbes living under one armpit than you'll find in the other armpit. You'll have a different ecosystem over in your other armpit, but they're essential to life. And you want to have mostly good bacteria living on you. And then the prebiotics are just foods that feed the good bacteria. And honestly, I know it's a hot subject today to take FOS and other prebiotics, but really food is a prebiotic. If you eat blueberries or you eat quinoa or rice, you know, those type of foods that have natural sugars in them are naturally prebiotics. I kind of find it amusing that they're making a big deal over this prebiotic category, because nature's already handled that for us. When we eat, we feed the good, when we eat the good healthy foods, we're feeding the bacteria.
Okay. Well, actually, thank you. That's an exceedingly concise and well put, I hate to say definition, but perhaps distinction amongst the three of them. And I did have the chance, for those of you out there listening, to talk with Donna before we went on the air. And Donna, isn't it true you're going to be actually in England sometime, in Scotland sometime later this year?
Well, Graham, who has our distributor over in London, he's been trying to get me over there for several years now. And I keep saying, I promise I'm coming. So this year we're really working to set up something in May, early June. And I'd like to also go to Scotland too, you know, England and Scotland. And I'm looking forward to it. So we're working to put it together right now.
So if someone wanted to be able to attend and meet you at one of those seminars or events, how would they do that? How would they get in touch with you and put their name in so that
would be great right now is if they would just join our free newsletter list, so they'll always be notified of anything that like that I'm doing. Okay. In the meantime, they can get a lot of great information. I think that we have some of the most important information out there. And one of the Body Ecology is never criticized for lacking anything. But sometimes people say, they take a look at us and they say, oh, that looks too hard to do. But if you follow the step-by-step principle, Body Ecology is based on 7 principles. And the step-by-step principle says, just pick up 1 or 2 tools at a time. Then, you know, get comfortable with those and pick up a few more. We don't expect everybody to come and learn all of the things we teach right away, but it's really, really amazing information. I say that because I don't feel like really responsible for having created it. I do feel that there's some power, a divine power that cares about us very much and is trying to help us through this crazy time that we're living through.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that's so well put. And for those of you who aren't on the chat line, you can go to Donna Gates's website at www.bodyecology. That's all one word, and it's spelled just the way it sounds, bodyecology.com. Sign up for her newsletter, look through her site, and you might even want to, dare I suggest, buy her book as a good sort of pull it all together way of ensuring that you either preserve your good health or return to good health. And I have to say, Donna, you've been fantastic, and I'd love to have you back on if you don't mind. I do apologize that we only had 3/4 of our time this night instead of the normal full time.
Oh, no, I'd love to. Hopefully we can get our you know, schedule, yeah. I mean, our connections to work better, but yeah. I love to teach. So please just, you know, let us know.
Well, thank you. And where are you based? Are you in California?
Live in California, but you're right. I heard you say that, you know, I was born in Georgia. So that's probably why I talk too fast. Southern people talk fast. And I lived in Florida for about 8 years and I actually miss it. It's beautiful in Florida and it's chilly in LA these days.
Well, we loved having you on, and by the number of questions, I can tell that the listeners did too. So thank you, Donna, so much, and we will schedule you on again. I definitely want to do. And please stay in touch.
Thank you, Scott. I really
thank you.
Yeah, just let us know when you wanna. You've got another slot in your calendar there. I'd love to do it.
Okay, we'll do it, and we'll pick up from there and finish with all the important information that you have. Not that we can do it even in one extra show, but at least we can.
No. There's so much to talk about.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And for those of you who are still on, stay tuned for Sean McGuire. He's on next. And next week, we will have Dr. Andrew Saul on as our guest. And until then.